W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An explosion in Lebanon killed a top Hamas official. The BBC's Yolan Nell reports from Jerusalem.
The Lebanese prime minister coming out calling this a crime and saying that Israel is trying to drag Lebanon into a new phase of confrontations with the country.
Former President Trump asked a Maine court to keep him on their primary ballot. Campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman.
In his complaint, Trump argued that the Secretary of State, who was a Democrat, is a quote-unquote biased decision maker. He said she should have recused herself.
Our Bo Erickson tells us President Biden will make a speech on Saturday, the three-year anniversary of the January 6th attack.
In a briefing, Biden re-election campaign manager Julie Chavez Rodriguez said the threat to democracy posed by former President Donald Trump is even more dire than last election.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
WRJN.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers win over Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, Wisconsin beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 83-72 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers getting help from players off the bench, like Kamari McGee, with two rebounds, two assists, and a bucket. How much did it mean for Wisconsin? Max Klesmit.
Life. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see three steals in the column. That's huge.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You know, for having 10 or 11 days off, I thought this was, you know, we responded to it. I thought we looked a little rusty early. Any win in this league is important.
NBA, after losing to the Pacers at home, the Bucks are now in Indianapolis to play the Pacers again tonight. Adrian Griffin on the loss Monday.
We had some really good defense possession. We just couldn't finish them off with a rebound. So that really, really hurt us. But we got it. Quick turnaround. We'll make our adjustments and watch the film and get ready.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be a cloudy day today with a few scattered light snow showers or flurries by about midday into the afternoon. Our high right around 35, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 23. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 31 on Friday. Cloudy, high of 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Fine. Mornings from 6 to 10. The Zone. If you combine pajamas and rubber boots to check on the barn, we welcome you. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke on a Wednesday. Today, the gloomy clouds continue. We'll see a high of 33 degrees. Winds are moving at around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Into this evening, the clouds will break and we'll see a low of 18 degrees. And with just a few clouds, that means we'll see mostly sunny skies tomorrow, but the highs will stay in the upper 20s. There are small chances of winter precipitation this week, but it doesn't look like we'll see anything significant until next week. I'll get you a more sure answer from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, joining us live later this morning. Here's what's happening in Wisconsin agriculture today. The Wisconsin Pork Association is inviting producers and industry partners to its annual meeting, which is held in tandem with Corn Soy Expo. Expo starts February 1st at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And that evening, you can look forward to the Pork Association's iconic Porkapalooza event featuring pork hors d'oeuvres, live music, and a live auction fundraiser. You can register today at cornsoyexpo.org and find more details at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're at our website, be sure to check out the details on the Alice in Dairyland application. That's right. You can apply now to be Wisconsin's agriculture ambassador with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. If you or someone you know has a passion for promoting agriculture, apply to be the 77th Alice in Dairyland before the end of the month. Again, you can find more info at MidwestFarmReport.com. We've got more in store for you today, including a visit with our friends from the Steffes Group. And we'll also get an inside look at what it takes to farm in the middle of the city. And I bet the crop he's growing will surprise you. It's all right here.
Now, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that the average adult has anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 taste buds? Yeah. Here's the sad part, though. We lose taste buds as we get older. What? Don't you want every one of those taste buds to be happy? Well, I've got an answer. Bavaria Sausage. Yep, fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5, or always open online, BavariaSausage.com. I'll tell you what, every one of those taste buds in your mouth will jump for joy when they see what's coming their way. The authentic old world flavor of their brats. What about all of the artisan cheeses and all of the unique flavors in between? Don't let one of those taste buds be disappointed. Head on over, BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Tell them the Farm Babe sent you. Anybody that's been in Wisconsin's dairy industry knows that 2023 has been a challenge. 2024 will present its own unique challenges. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke, and one of those Wisconsin dairy CEOs that had to maneuver some very troubling waters, Greg Schlafer. He is the CEO of Foremost Farms USA. They moved their headquarters from Baraboo to the west side of Madison, where I had a chance to sit down and visit with him, learn a little bit more about the man on the guiding helm of Foremost Farms, and also find out a little bit more about what they've overcome and where they're headed. He explains he's been a part of this industry for a while.
Well, I've been in the food business for over 30 years, and our family background actually is dairy farming. My dad grew up on a dairy farm. I have fond memories as a kid of going to the farm, milking cows, being put to work and doing chores. And when this opportunity presented itself, definitely that played a part. And I thought if I could contribute my experience and help an organization turn around, there's probably not a better stakeholder group that I'd enjoy helping.
Well, and you hit it on the head. You came in at a challenging time. Pre-pandemic, there were quite a few things that needed to happen pretty fast at Foremost Farms. When you walked in, Greg, how did you do triage and set your priorities right out of the gate?
It's a great question, and clearly it was a very challenging time. We were deep in forbearance with our lenders. We had bank-mandated consultants in for support. So really, there was a pretty solid group of support around me, for sure. This was not a one-man show by any stretch. But you just start to look at what the needs of the business are. Managing cash on daily calls with the bank was a challenge. Assessing needs for capital, you know, what do we have for staff? Do we have people doing the right things? Do we have the right number of people? You know, what's missing? So building process, building capabilities. We had to do a reduction in force to take cost out. I had to look at our plant network, and over 4 years, the plant network has tightened up from 12 plants down to 8. You know, part of that is it's hard to have enough capital to support a bigger network. So if you can tighten that up, that's an imperative. You need to do that. So, you know, it's hard to do, really hard to do, especially for those families and communities where those plants were impacted. But we've tightened up the network. You know, last year we closed the cheese plant in Milan. And this year, through work in the other plants, we've taken in more milk and produced more cheese than we did last year with one more cheese plant. So that's just an example of productivity, efficiency, and continuous improvement. So the continuous improvement journey is really important to us. We've got a big network. I like to say the business has scale, and scale can hurt you or scale can help you. So if we can do a lot of blocking and tackling, just 1-2% better, that has a big impact on the business. So, you know, that's really the focus of the core of the business as we continue to move forward. It's being better with what we already have.
Wonderful plan. And then the pandemic hits. You're dealing in a perishable food.
Yep.
Everything around you that you knew you could count on when you walked in the door suddenly is on shaky ground. Grocers, consumer purchase patterns, home delivery, getting milk from the dairy. You had one set of goals when you walked in, Greg. How did you adjust those goals during the pandemic?
Well, there is no playbook for a pandemic, and we all had to work through that. It took employee safety to a new level.
Yeah.
You know, people and safety is a number one priority here, so keeping our employees safe in the plants, because we needed our plants to run. Cows don't care if it's Christmas or COVID, the milk's coming, right? So we needed our plants to run, which meant we needed to keep our employees safe. A lot of our staff in the office went remote. And I will say, another one of my cliches, it's better to be lucky than good. The majority of our business flows into the retail channel through our customers. And as you remember, food service was what got shut down. So if we'd have been heavily dependent on food service, that would have been more difficult for us. The business that we did have in the food service channel, you know, softened up, while the business that flows through retail strengthened. Mm-hmm. So we had strong demand through the pandemic, which is, you know, clearly a blessing for us. But again, that was no fault of our own. That was just luck.
Luck brings you to this beautiful space we're sitting in now. For people that have not been paying attention, the old facility, the old headquarters on Highway 12 outside of Baraboo, no longer. Instead, now here we are on the west side of Madison in a custom-built space. How did this journey unfold?
Great question. So back to people. Building the organization into what's next for us meant adding a lot of new capabilities and process, which meant we needed a lot of, you know, talented people. We needed to be in a market that had more people. We were struggling to attract talent 50 miles north from Madison. So the opportunity to move the office was important on the people side. And as we talked about, the building in Baraboo needed at least $10 million in capital work. Windows, parking lot, furniture, a roof, and that was an expenditure that was going to have no return. Mm-hmm. So we were fortunate and we were able to sell the building, and then we were able to negotiate very favorable lease terms, and that was where the pandemic certainly helped us. There was a lot of available leased space. So this location here has been fantastic for us. It's really helped us attract talent to get into these important roles that then have a big impact on the results of the business.
Well, and I just want to make sure that we're setting this up properly. If people get the opportunity to visit this space, you were still very mindful of every dime spent. I don't know if you're still answering to others per se as far as the checkbook, but you were very, very careful on disbursements on this new space.
Well, you're exactly right. Again, negotiating leased office space during a pandemic, We had very, very favorable terms. And, you know, the build-out was covered by the landlord here, and that's pretty common for commercial office space. Mm-hmm. But it would have been far more expensive to invest in the office in Baraboo. And then if you can't attract talent, it just sets you back. We all saw the labor pinch probably at its worst a year ago. Wisconsin record low unemployment, Minnesota record low unemployment. And had our office been still in Baraboo a year ago, I'm convinced we would have flat run out of people.
Right, right. Bring me up to speed today then, Greg, as we get ready to enter a new calendar year, 2024. How are you feeling? I think if you polled your average dairy producer, they might wince a little bit at what they're living through right now, but you have reason to believe that 2024, with the path that Foremost Farms is on, not looking too bad.
We're optimistic about our future. The business is as stable as it's been in a very, very long time. We're working with customers, so whether it's our customer mix, our product mix, our plant performance, taking costs out of our network, and developing people to get better results. I think we continue to get better results as we go forward. And that's really just focused on core continuous improvement. That's not, depending on, a big new product launch or something right. That's got a lot of risk to it. It's really just all about us executing better. There's significant impact there.
Let's be a little bit more precise on what this office space in Middleton, West Madison offers in that regard. Test kitchens, client space, an attractive workspace for everyday employees. There's a lot of innovation in this space that Foremost Farms has never seen before.
That's correct. We do have a culinary center, a space where we can bring customers in and collaborate, innovate together. We're a B2B business channel. We don't have a Foremost brand on the store shelves, so we work with customers that do have products on those store shelves to help them innovate and create new products. And we have a space where we can do that. It's not the biggest space as far as commercial kitchens go. I think it's appropriately sized for us, and we're fortunate that we're 7 miles down the road from the Center for Dairy Research, and we will leverage that space for trials and our space for customer meetings, and it should be a great combination for us.
It is a beautiful space. That's Greg Schlafer. He is the CEO of Foremost Farms USA. Again, maneuvering through some turbulent times in 2023, looking for a brighter horizon in 2024. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News talk and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Helping our neighbors
in need.
Being with you makes us happy as pigs in mud. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
And it's time now for your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with Stu Muck. Now, Stu, I did see some flurries briefly last night, but I think that was pretty much the extent of that excitement. Am I right?
Pretty much. I mean, Vilas County up in the northwest, Hayward, they're getting some snow this morning. That's lake effect. They'll be dealing with that. For the rest of us, yeah, a few flurries. We could see a few of those flurries a little later today as well. It's just not going to amount to much. There's a very weak cool front trying to drop through out of the northwest. That cool front extending from the central parts of the UP over to about the Twin Cities and then back into South Dakota. That little front will march further south today. And a little later this morning in central Wisconsin toward midday, and then in the afternoon further south and east, a band of flurries, some patchy light snow may develop. Not going to cause accumulations or anything like that, but a little snow in the air. That makes it look festive. How about that for a Wednesday? Otherwise, the bigger news is temperatures do remain on the somewhat above normal side today. 28, about the normal high around a good part of a southern half of Wisconsin, will be in the low 40s today, so a little on the above side. But after this cool front drops through and the winds become west and north, they don't get all that strong, fortunately, but they will tap into a cooler air mass, so expect temperatures overnight to drop into the teens and stay in the 20s tomorrow. That's more like normal for this time of the year. So it's actually going to feel like January for Thursday. We turn that around. Of course, expect some moderation by Friday. And we've heard all the rumors. There'll be some snow to start the weekend. A stronger low-pressure system is going to be passing just to our south and may account for more snow. Maybe a little snow around late Saturday into Saturday night, and beyond that point toward early next week, we'll have to watch. A lot of preliminary indications talking about accumulating snows, especially in southern Wisconsin, but then the next map says it may shift a bit further southeast and not affect the state much at all. We'll watch that one, let you know what to expect here as we head toward the end of the week, when snow toward later in the weekend could become a little more of a factor. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Innovation, that's BioVet. The end of harvest, snow covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com. Innovation.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
A little chance of some precipitation until we get to the weekend, when we may see some more accumulation. Stu, what else do you have for us this morning?
Well, I kind of like these temperatures. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast does include a mostly cloudy day, maybe a little flurry activity, some light snow around. First later this morning in central Wisconsin, later today further east and south. Look for temps up in the 30s, 34, maybe a 35 if we're lucky, and the west winds only about 5 to 10 becoming north as we head toward the night. That's that weak cool front clearing out somewhat, partly cloudy overnight. Upper teens with the north winds at 5 to 10. Some sunshine Thursday and more normal temps in the upper 20s with north winds at 5 becoming southwest late. That brings those clouds back, more clouds Friday and back up in the mid-30s, if you will, 33, 34, and the south winds at 5 to 10. And Stephanie, then that little bit of snow could start to show up as we head towards Saturday.
As you said, back to maybe some normalcy here for a Wisconsin winter.
Yeah, it sure would be good to get a little snow on that ground. I think that would make us all feel a bit better.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow, Stu. Thanks for coming on this morning. And remember, you can tell us what you're seeing outside. Send us a text at 877-301-FARM. That's our talk text line. Again, 877-301-FARM. 3276. And that's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Just visit compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
CBS News Brief. An explosion in Lebanon killed a top Hamas official. The BBC's Yolan Nell reports from Jerusalem.
The Lebanese prime minister coming out calling this a crime and saying that Israel is trying to drag Lebanon into a new phase of confrontations with the country.
Former President Trump asked a Maine court to keep him on their primary ballot. Campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman.
In his complaint, Trump argued that the Secretary of State, who was a Democrat, is a quote-unquote biased decision maker. He said she should have recused herself.
Our Bo Erickson tells us President Biden will make a speech on Saturday, the three-year anniversary of the January 6th attack.
In a briefing, Biden re-election campaign manager Julie Chavez Rodriguez said the threat to democracy posed by former President Donald Trump is even more dire than last election.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers win over Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, Wisconsin beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 83-72 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers getting help from players off the bench, like Kamari McGee, with 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a bucket. How much did it mean for Wisconsin? Max Klesmit.
Life. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see 3 steals in the column. That's huge.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You know, for having 10 or 11 days off, I thought this was, you know, we responded to it. I thought we looked a little rusty early. Any win in this league is important.
NBA, after losing to the Pacers at home, the Bucks are now in Indianapolis to play the Pacers again tonight. Adrian Griffin on the loss Monday.
We had some really good defense possession. We just couldn't finish them off with a rebound. So that really, really hurt us. But we got it. Quick turnaround. We'll make our adjustments and watch the film and get ready.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking
reality. It is going to be a cloudy day today with a few scattered light snow showers or flurries by about midday into the afternoon. Our high right around 35, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 23. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 31. On Friday, cloudy, high of 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion into your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care.
You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
WRJN. News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
That many issues. But again, you know, you look.
For all of you that had your first date riding around the field in a tractor cab, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Happy Hump Day as we kick off the last part of this shorter work week. According to the old Farmer's Almanac, January 3rd is a good day to do quite a variety of things. The first is, wherever you don't want to grow hair, today is the day you should cut that hair. January 3rd is the day to cut hair to discourage growth, and you'll probably want to keep that to yourself, most likely. On a totally different note, if you are thinking about getting hitched, today is the day. January 3rd is one of the best days to get married in 2024. Now, I doubt you had planned to get married on a Wednesday, but the courthouse is open. And again, this is according to the old Farmer's Almanac in their astrology section. According to how the stars are aligned, it's a good day to cut hair to discourage growth and get married. And now it's time to check in with our friends at the Steffes Group.
It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's Steffes Group.com. You want to call them? Take a look at 2024 as your year for an auction. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath from the Steffes Group, kind enough to be back along with us. Happy New Year, Randy. And boy, you guys at Steffes Group already have quite a full dance card when it comes to all the auctions and activities you've got lined up already for 2024, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy fall, of course, and busy winter, but we are booking stuff into 2024. That calendar is slowly starting to fill up. You know, we've been doing some standalone Wisconsin area sales here the last year with some really good success and good results. We've set the date for the next one coming up on March 27th. Never too early to consign. Take a look at that. You can see our past results from the Steffes Group website. All of our auctions go to an archive feature that you can see what's been on those sales, what it sold for, where it was located, pictures, descriptions, all that kind of good stuff. But we expect 2024 to be another busy season.
Now, if I want to get involved in that consignment auction, we were mentioning, Randy and I talking off air, that it's never too soon to start kind of pulling your items together and getting them committed to the Steffes Group. How can we go about that, Randy?
Absolutely. The first step is a phone call. So reach out to the number, ask for Randy. He'll take care of you. We're going to come out. We're going to see what you got. Everybody wants to know what their stuff is worth. We'll do an evaluation / appraisal right on site, tell you what we think it's going to bring. So we try to, again, reduce the prices. We don't want you thinking you've got a $50,000 piece and it's maybe worth $35,000 or vice versa. If you got a $40,000 piece and we think it's going to bring $60,000, we want you to know what price expectation is going to be. And hence, most of the sellers like to have an idea where they think the value is as well.
Consignments can bring in an awful wide variety of different equipment and items, Randy. Anything in particular that you're finding really successful when they pop up on these sales?
Absolutely. So everything, you know, seems to be very seasonal, especially as times change, which we expect them to be doing so here going forward. We think that cash is going to be a little bit harder to come by in the next year, maybe longer, and it seems like selling items in season has still been the historical way to cash in from a seller point of view. So once we get into spring, of course, planters and late tillage equipment, tractors seem to be unseasonal, meaning there's still really good demand for tractors. Whether you're selling in January or July, it hasn't seemed to matter. Same with skid loaders. A lot of that construction iron that we sell in the spring has been really, really hot. It seems like there's still a really strong demand and somewhat of a short supply for used skid loaders, used construction equipment, particularly large and small excavators have been incredibly sought after and incredibly hot items. So that's kind of some of the stuff we're looking for. But again, it's a consignment sale. We won't discourage you from putting fall items on there as well. It just comes down to price expectation and how we can help you best. If it's a situation where it's something you need to move, even if it's out of season, we'll absolutely introduce you to a worldwide audience and make sure we maximize that value.
Yeah, that's what they do, folks, and they do it very well. Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group. You want to get involved in that consignment sale they've got slated for the state of Wisconsin on March 27th. Get thinking about it now. Start eyeballing those items now. And like Randy said, they'll be happy to give you some valuations before you get too close to the date. Find all the details and those archived results online at steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com or call them toll free 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group.
Before we take a look at our commodity prices this morning, I wanted to share a 2024 outlook with you on corn and soybeans. Chad Hart joins us. He's an economics professor and crop specialist out of Iowa State University, and he walks us through some of the challenges that he sees facing corn, beans, and the general agricultural supply chain. He's known as Dr. Doom, but he does promise the outlook for 2024 is not entirely gloomy.
I won't necessarily go a full doom on you here, but the idea is I'm going to describe it as we're returning back to normal. When you think back at 2020, 2021, 2022, what we had were some very strong years for the farm economy. And the idea is we couldn't expect that to continue. We've seen our prices decline. We're seeing things tighten up as far as profit margins are concerned. But for most commodities, I would argue we're around break even, which I would argue is around normal. Now, we've got our definite weak spots. Dairy has struggled hard in 2023. Pork has struggled as well significantly. But when you're looking at some of our crops like corn and soybeans, I'm going to argue, no, they're settling back in towards prices equal production cost, which is the normal state of affairs.
What hasn't returned to normal is the input cost side of things, the expense side of this equation. Those seem to continue to go up.
When you think about it, what we are used to, say you go back 5-10 years ago, yes, we would have been talking lower prices and lower costs. Now we're talking higher prices and higher costs. So prices don't have to fall back to where they were to create problems for us. We have seen basically, think of it as the profits we've gathered over the past few years, we've reinvested that back in agriculture. By that reinvestment, we have driven those input costs up to match the prices we have today.
Now let's talk futures here into 2024. And I want to start with corn. What are you seeing when it comes to supply and into the planting season?
Right. As we're looking at supplies, in the end, what USDA was finding, and I would say a lot of farmers talked to me about this over the course of this fall, things are better than we expected on the supply side. We were able to produce despite the drought problems out there. Did it create some issues in localized pockets? Definitely. But when we look overall, this could be the largest corn crop we've ever produced, which is really strange to say in the face of a multi-year drought. So supplies, no, we know they're there. They're big. The challenge is demand. It's trying to figure out how are we going to utilize all of this corn throughout the, you know, not only the nation, but the world. You know, the idea is we tend to feed a lot, but we've seen some shrinkage in our cattle herd, so that's weakening demand there. When we look at the ethanol picture, well, that's been hit and miss over the last few years. It really took a hit through COVID and has recovered, but it's not growing. And then the last piece is tends to be our international markets, and that's where we have seen the biggest pullback. When you think over the past couple of years, as we've seen that international demand shrink as basically our corn got high priced relative to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world started producing more corn.
Is that the same story for beans, though? Let's take a look at that other, the other top crop here. Are they in the same boat where they are going to need demand?
They do. In this case, corn and beans are very similar in that aspect. Now, with beans, this year's crop isn't a record crop like we're facing in corn, but we're still talking about a lot of beans are available. Supplies are strong here within the U.S. We've seen domestic demand growth, but it's not enough to meet what we need in the market. And where we've seen the pullback is in that international demand. But here I would say we face, let's call it even stronger international competition. We have seen Brazil really ramp up soybean production over the past 5 years. The reason we've seen over the past couple of weeks soybean prices strengthen is because we're watching them deal with a problem we haven't had for a while, too much water. it's delayed them in planting. And the longer they're getting delayed, the more we think, okay, that's lessening that competition out there and helping boost our outlook for soybeans going into 2024.
Professor Chad Hart along with us, a market economist out of Iowa State University. Now let's take a look at our commodity prices this morning. From Chicago, cash corn is trading up a half a cent at 464 and a quarter. December new crop corn is trading up a quarter of a penny at 498 and a half. Cash beans are down 4 cents at 1269 and a half, and November new crop beans are down 2 1/4 cents at 1219 and 3/4. Cash wheat is trading down 2 3/4 cents at 604 a bushel, and July new crop wheat is trading down 2 cents at 624 and a quarter. Taking a look at fluid milk, the February Class 3 milk contract is trading up 6 cents at 1569 a hundredweight. The March contract is up 12 cents at 1641. There is one crop that we haven't talked about yet this morning on our show, and it's grown in the middle of Madison. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Embration Center.
Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you didn't know anything about mushrooms before, you will after you hear this. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Growing mushrooms is a very unique type of farming, and Andrew Griffin's story of how he came to be growing mushrooms is just as unique. He's a Wisconsin native growing up around farms, but without any farm experience. He got an education in economics, but preferred working in the food sector. It wasn't until the height of COVID when he decided to pursue growing mushrooms. He jokes that part of the reason was no one was hiring at that time, but growing mushrooms was already a hobby of his. And today, Andrew Griffin owns Micro Growers in downtown Madison. He grows mushrooms for restaurants and farmers markets. Andrew describes what his city farm looks like.
It really looks like a laboratory more than anything else. So this space that I'm in used to be a call center, so like telecommunications. And if you look up the ceiling, there's still all sorts of like Ethernet cables and that sort of thing. So when I walked in, there's like cubicles and a carpeted floor. And it's like a work sink and a microwave and that sort of thing. So just turning it into the space that it is now, which is like a concrete suite with water access, that's really what it is at the most basic level, was a really long part of the 15 months. Actually, like moving all my equipment in here and getting it set up was a lot shorter than it took just to make it available for use.
Is your operation normal, quote unquote, compared to other commercial mushroom producers?
So you can really divide mushroom producers into two categories: traditional mushroom producers, which are growing the white button mushrooms, portobello mushrooms, and then like gourmet mushroom producers. Since gourmet mushrooms really aren't very popular and it's an extremely emerging industry, there isn't really a normal operation yet. It kind of depends on where you are, what you have access to, and what sort of equipment you might be able to put together. There's no industry standard when it comes to cultivation equipment, whether it's like processing or harvesting or anything like that for gourmet mushrooms. So there's a huge amount of innovation that goes into it in terms of building your own equipment from recycled parts or from other pieces of machinery that might be used for something else traditionally. So there, long story short, there really is no like standard gourmet mushroom operation.
Then your operation is as unique as anyone else's, and it starts with how you start the mushroom. I like the comparison you had made where growing mushrooms is kind of like sourdough starter, which some of our listeners might be familiar with. You start it and you feed it and you make bread, but you keep using that same starter.
Yeah.
So walk us through that process for mushrooms.
Yeah, we even use the same word. So culture or starter, I guess, would be the same idea. So you're using the same genetic material to start every mushroom that you grow, which is really like a cloning process. So having that culture, you can introduce it into a more nutritious medium, in this case oats, which is called spawning. And that really makes what is essentially a mushroom seed that you can then put into a larger base of nutrition and have it grow out. So putting the culture onto spawn is probably the most scientific part of the whole growing process, and definitely the most precise. There's a lot of room for error, and I think that it's really probably the thing that makes my business viable is producing my own spawn. It is a bit more labor intensive and it, like I said, an exact process, but if you don't do that from scratch, it's not very cost effective.
And that's because mushrooms are competing with other fungi, other bacteria. So you really have to be careful in making sure that there's no other competition, similar to, you know, corn competing with weeds.
Yeah, I call them fungal weeds. So every breath you take, there's millions of spores, and all those spores are looking for a place to grow out. And so you're creating this perfect environment to grow a mushroom. There's going to be other stuff that wants to grow on it too. So fighting back the fungal and bacterial weeds is the other most important component of mushroom farming. And that's done mostly through heat sterilization and working in sterile environments.
You're starting the mushroom spores, you know, they're growing. Now it's time to transfer them to what we may think of as a log, not necessarily a literal log. What's that next step?
That's called spawning to bulk, and you're exactly right. It is kind of like a log. It's more of an artificial log, so compressed sawdust and nutritional supplement into, you know, something that's more or less log-shaped. So that's what all the mushrooms I'm growing here would be growing on in nature, is on a log. So we want to recreate that environment that they'd be growing on naturally, but just in a more commercially viable setting.
So tell me about the components of this artificial log.
So you've got the spawn, like I was talking about before. So that's essentially the mushroom culture put onto oats, and that's like the seeds. You've got the substrate, which is the bulk nutritional component. So that's more akin to soil, and that's a mixture of sawdust and soybean hulls. And then you've got a container bag, which just holds everything together, keeps all those bacterial and fungal weeds out, and then allows for a gas exchange. So as they're slowly decomposing this artificial log, they're putting out carbon dioxide and they need oxygen. So creating that perfect balance of a growing environment stays pretty easy if you just seal everything in an enclosed environment like a bag.
And if you're listening and you want to see pictures, I have these at MidwestFarmReport.com, so you can kind of see the step-by-step process, because it's hard to explain unless you're laying eyes on it. In this step, while they're on this artificial log, they're not mushrooms yet. They're still like white, fuzzy. What next?
Yeah, so there's two main components to what we know as a fungus. There's the vegetative state, which is contained in that artificial log. And so you're right, it looks kind of white and fuzzy. And that's the mycelium, a word that a lot of people have heard that turns it white like that. And then you've got the actual mushroom itself. So the mushroom is a reproductive organ of the fungus that grows off of the vegetative part of it. So you have a log or an artificial log, and you see the mushroom growing out from the log. That mushroom that you see is just a temporary organ of the whole organism.
So what's the timeline that we're looking at here? What's the average timeline between starting the mushroom and harvesting?
Starting from a very basic culture, you can grow an oyster mushroom in as little as 7 to 8 weeks, fully grown, like on the shelf, ready to eat.
Andrew Griffin tells me more about what it takes to start a mushroom farm and turn a profit. That full conversation is at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just search mushroom. Andrew operates micro growers in downtown Madison. This is a COVID-era agribusiness that has seen success as people become more interested in gourmet mushrooms. He says there could very well be a mushroom farm near you as people transition from hobby to commercial growing in order to meet this demand. He recommends visiting one. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with me on a Wednesday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News, talk, and sports. Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
A farm lender lays out the value of crop insurance today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Farm bill critics are singling out crop insurance premium subsidies, saying large farms benefit significantly. But an ag banker says crop insurance is a vital tool for protecting farmers from financial disaster.
You know, here in Iowa where we're at, we didn't have great yields. And I've heard it from several producers. You know, I'm a bin short of corn where I was a year ago. Crop insurance has helped us out big this year.
That's Caleb Hopkins, a loan production officer in the Halber, Iowa branch of First Dakota National Bank. Hopkins participated in a recent webinar put on by secondary ag lender Farmer Mac. He says when a small crop is combined with high interest rates and lower commodity prices, farmers can be in a bind.
Liquidity becomes a bigger issue because I don't have the grain that I planned on having, that I've historically had to generate cash in this operation. Wait a second, where's it coming from? Crop insurance has helped us out. All right, you know, we don't get rich on crop insurance. It keeps us moving forward. So then you also throw in the interest rates, inflationary pressures, taking more money. It's kind of this perfect storm building here that we've been able to survive. You know, we've seen it coming, but most producers haven't seen it in action and what it's going to cause to their balance sheets.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Don Rosen. You know, it's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in the Racine and surrounding areas every morning, 6 till 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Your home for the Packers. 1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
WRJN.